Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. It is the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So here we are. We gather to consider to avert greater disaster. Remember, the word disaster comes from, it means against the stars, so does catastrophe. And the antidote is consider, which means with the stars. So we gather to consider to avert greater disasters. Our trickster version of Project 2025, let's all work on that. And it's not what's gonna happen, but what's the assignment? What's available with which to cooperate? So considering the path of evolutionary opportunity, I welcome longtime colleague from way back, Rick Geer. Rick Geer has been a professional astrologer for 50 years, specializing in mirroring the unique genius inside each person. Yes, yes. He sees astrology as a master key to our own power and creativity and the heroic story we are living out. He sees the coming decade as a total reinvention of our world for the first time since democracy itself took root with the American and French revolutions. And I like Daniel, there's many, many wonderful things, but welcome, Rick Geer.
Hey, Caroline.
That's great.
We go back to 1974.
That's right. So what is that? Is that like, that's like 50 years. Holy moly. That's right. It seems like
before you were a professional astrologer sitting on the green at Brown, I never thought that you would turn into this sort of cultural figure, you know?
I think all our past seeds. I mean, we're invited, no matter how old we are, to think of all the chapters of our lives. All the chapters are reporting in. So, So I hadn't practiced formally. That's right. I was still doing readings a little bit at Brown, and then off we go. Right. So there we are, starting, and still dedicated to this beautiful, beautiful language.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what my life would be like without the archetypal language of astrology and the ability to touch people and connect to people on these deep levels of the hero that they are. And you know, it's a huge gift for my entire life and a gift to others.
Yeah. Well, it's so heartening. And every now and then I think it's useful in a kind of Pluto way to throw everything into the cauldron, going, what if astrology is just nonsense, you know, and then these amazing and beautiful things, and we ladle it out again. But it's useful for everybody, you know, believe nothing, entertain possibilities, just throw everything into the cauldron and stir it around, and then go, oh no, this is worth ladling back out, right? So, and just as you say, when, you know, the juxtaposition, when, you know, there's so much in the world, and we must put many, many things on our work table, and we begin this year with the ongoing carnage and disaster in Gaza and the Sudan, and that's all there, all of it, and it's all one big dream. We'll talk about our strategies, but then when feeling like, whoa, then the chart is like, oh no, here's what to cooperate with. So yeah, and then I have your chart.
I'm like the black church. I'm saying that's right, Reverend.
that's right, Reverend. Speak the truth, right? So So I'm crazy about quintiles, just for the fun of it. 72 degree angles, and we have a Saturn quintile Uranus in the sky now. And you were born with that. I think of it as irresistible eloquence that opens portals.
There's
Saturn Uranus, the two presiders over the realm of Aquarius, discipline and wildness.
Yep.
And you know, I like to say, you know, we can be lonely on our own, but it takes a group in which to be alienated. That's kind of an Aquarius thing. but Aquarius, you know, Pluto, death, rebirth, has moved into Aquarius for the next 20 years, many ways. You know, this beautiful language is about describing and guiding, you know, and I think that's part of the at least twofold part of those of us who love this language. You know, here's the description, and here's the guiding, here's the disaster, and here's how to avert that, you know. So Yeah, so I think of Saturn and Uranus, quintile in your chart, quintile now for us, which is our dedication to disciplined wildness, our dedication to the experiment of democracy. May it be an ongoing experiment, you know. Unfurl before us. That is here. So yeah, I'm delighted to have you as astro ally and dance partner, because there's, you know, so much movement, and we can guide into that. So over the next 12 months, you know, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune will move into new signs. You know, and I'm reading from Daniel Fiverson. Many astrologers are working on all this too. So Pluto settles into its long-term residency in Aquarius. We'll come back to that. The lunar nodes shift from Aries to Pisces. Saturn moves into Aries. Uranus moves into Gemini. Right, and that's the same sign it occupied during the American Revolution. So I know just from our backstage chat, you have you've been brewing on this for a long time. So feel free to set forth, and I will every now and then go, that didn't that the other. There's one more thing.
Yep.
So I love that for us all now. Mercury is at 22 Sagittarius plus, whose image is the crown and torch of the Statue of Liberty, the necessity to defend democracy from tyranny. And we go, yep, that, thank you. It squares Neptune, right? So there's a description and an assignment. And I'm also, and many other fun things, you know, who's here with us? Ceres, Demeter, dwarf planet, goddess of the earth, quintiles Chiron, stationing direct. Mm. These are the two mythic figures, you know, who founded human initiatory theater. So they're in cahoots. Huh. One was entheogenic. One was, you know, just sip some rhodiola root tea. But I like that they're chiming in. So we have the, you know, it's like, didn't humans have ways of navigating such times? And we go, yeah, they did, you know, and we might bring all that up, and then I just want to put on our altar, and we can to and fro, you know. But January 3rd, tomorrow, is when the Congress is supposed to elect a speaker, and if they don't, they can't certify the election. So, in the spirit of participatory animism, I like saying, "Oh chaos." Who's a good chaos? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Go over there to the Dementor camp. There we go. You know, more chaos. Maybe there's not an inauguration on January 20th. We're not expecting, because expectation is the partner of disappointment, but we're willing to play. So wherever you want to go, do you have any thoughts? I mean, I was looking at January 3rd tomorrow, which is a... I think there's Congress, there's chaos available. There's a Moon Venus conjunction in Pisces that could be good for humans and bad for tyranny. Do you have any thoughts on the possibility of chaos tomorrow?
You know who had Moon and Venus in Pisces? Martin Luther King. You know, that was the visionary and poetic side of him, as opposed to the organizational side of him, which was the Capricorn. Right. And combining those two and the rulers of those two signs, you know, Capricorn and Pisces, are going to merge this year. The spiritual let go kind of energy and universal compassion energy of Neptune, and the practical, how do we take charge and make something happen energy of Saturn are going to come together for the first time since the Gorbachev era, actually. And so with me, you know, what I think of, in terms of what's coming, is to me, there's two different kinds of magic. One is trying to change the content. Okay, $1 million is coming in, as opposed to changing the context. And the context is, okay, in this story that we are living, Trump has a perfect part to play, and then he goes off stage, and the universe is on my side and on all of our sides. We just need to align with it. Going back to what you were saying about the assignment, which I usually put a capital A at the beginning of that word. Because to me, the assignment is what creates our path. What am I being called to do? you know, Noah, build me an ark. And to me, receiving the assignment, I think it's the first function for each of us of Uranus, which rules the fool in the tarot, which is number zero. So the empty mind, where you, all you want is to be directed from your best, most brilliant place into your destiny, a story that's something you can't figure out until you dive into it. Maybe we'll never figure it out. But how do each of us find our genius? How do each of us find how we fit in and how the universe gets friendly to us? And don't feel guilty if it's friendlier to you than it is to someone else, because you want to bring that friendliness to the world, so you got to receive it. I'm going all over the place, I think. But to me, this is the year of the new beginnings, radical new beginnings on two different levels. Neptune going into Aries for the first time since the U.S. Civil War, virtually to the day. Saturn going into Aries, which it does every 30 years, roughly, and it always begins a total new story that persists. As I said, the last time was the explosion of the internet and the cell phone, which changed everything. We're in that world now for 30 years. And the time before that was the birth of the counterculture and the idea that it's a whole other way of living, a whole other set of values, where the individual, the preciousness of this moment and the preciousness of human connection is more important than all the other, you know, I make a living this way and I joined this club. And so that total beginning of a brand new story, which has been with us since 67, another brand new story is coming in this year and 2026. And this time it's got extra power because this incredible spiritual power of Neptune saying, listen, it's time to be set free. Like the last time was the beginning of the setting free, the ending of slavery. It's time to break out and create a brand new world. I mean, just step out on the stage and go, let's wing it, you know? Anyway, that's my riff for the moment.
No, I think that's great. It's like the backstage divine gods, whatever metaphor we want to use, you know, are saying, oh, humans, yes, big changes are available, you know, dream big, play fair, you know, how large would you like them to be? And I'm also looking at Uranus stationing at 23 plus Taurus. It's there now. Retrograde goes direct on January 30th, stays at 23 plus Taurus through mid-March. 23 plus Taurus is where the sun was when the country of Israel was founded. It's like friends of mine a year ago said, you know, Jewish friends of mine who love Israel, but they said, do you think Israel will continue to exist? And I go, not in this form. Right? And I think, you know, what is it, the principle of equality, you know, and humans wedding the land? You know, it's like we either cooperate with the instructions or they happen to us in a way we don't like so much. So, you know, it was it was pretty close, you know, in September, October of 2023. And it's like, and it's a deep, complex story. But then back to us, and I want to just throw one more thing on our altar of desirable mystery. So as we're all speaking now, entertain this possibility, the sun quintiles Neptune, the power of dreams, or the cri de coeur of 1968 in Paris, all power to the imagination. And I do love this moment where Mars, our outer life, has retrograded to go inward, and Neptune, our inner imaginative dream life, goes outward. So I view this as a strategy opportunity. The election debacle is where we got smoked on our strong suit, all visionary activists, all esotericists, whatever. It's like Neptune. But now, advantage back to the dreamers. Is that a fun idea?
And by the way, you know who else has the sun, their sun degree at 23 plus, which is 24 Taurus, which is basically a native warrior on the warpath? Che Guevara. Okay. And so that willingness to step out, that willingness to do what you got to do, to stand up to whatever you want to stand up to. And I would say that he has to be put in the context of this photo of when JFK first came in, you know, and there's a photo where he's got his one hand is holding the phone up and the other is as if he were shielding his face from the sun. He's getting the news that the African leader he most wanted to work with to really reinvent Africa and set it free and give it prosperity in the future had just been assassinated, you know, basically by the CIA. And so that, and who winds up there later? Che Guevara trying to undo that. And then you have JFK's quote of those who make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable. But in the case of the kind of revolution we want, it's not about fighting an old reality. It's about bringing a new reality, as they did in the 60s. You know, here's another way of living. And to bring, I think, a vision that combines individual freedom with community. And how do you have a community where the libertarians feel cool because no one's telling them what to do, on the one hand. And on the other hand, whatever, we have a garden that grows people. People got health care, they got all that stuff. And how do you create that in an inventive and a voluntary way? We need prototypes. And I think Aries is the time for prototypes. You just fake it till you make it. Step out. Put something on the board. I don't care what it is. We, you know, we'll agree, we'll disagree, we'll oppose you, we'll align with you, but put it out.
Well, we do sort of care what it is, in the sense of every moment, you know, is awaiting our willingness to animate the most desirable possibilities while being alert to the potential disasters. So yeah, there's all of that, and so now just to bring us back for a moment to tomorrow, January 3rd, and the potential chaos. I mean, Will the Congress, the new Congress, allegedly being sworn in, but they have to elect a Speaker of the House, and there's all kinds of chaos there. I have not lost my enthusiasm for quoting the I Ching, and the first time Trump was elected, I threw corruption and pestilence, hexagram 18, which says the darkest magic is where you put five venomous creatures in a jar until one of them kills and eats the others. And it's like, that looks right about the incoming chaos administration. And then I threw it again. The I Ching said, yes, and in case, you know, just, and, you know, since we're all in this dream together, I've been putting this out for a long time, but I love, you know, hearing sort of straight news people quote it, not quite get it right, but they go, and there's a scorpion in the jar, and it's like, you almost got it right. Now there's five venomous creatures in a jar, but we can see, you know, the things moving from what we say now, and to all of our listeners, you know, what we imagine is desirable. It sort of lays paths, and when Neptune enters Aries, which is a big shift, that's I think March 31st. You know, and there's a lot of movement and action. It's action packed, lots to cooperate with. But you know, so when Uranus enters Aries, it will animate whatever we're brewing now, and you know, and it will go back into. Oh no, it doesn't. It doesn't go back. It stays. It goes. Let me see. No, Saturn enters Aries and then goes back into Pisces. Yeah, but yeah. So whatever we're holding, you can participate. Everybody can participate in holding the desirable image. And I am on Blue Sky and the other things too. You know, but mm-hmm. What do we contribute to our team? And it's still pretty vituperative. Like this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong. And so I'm sort of stepping in to go, yes, remember, we all have a magic mirror, right? And the mirror holds up the reflection of, look, you know, it's terrible in detail. And then with a wave of our hand, we turn the mirror into a window, Neptune. Look how beautiful it could be. Come on, this is a great planet. Let's be worthy of it. And then with another wave of the hand, turn it into a door. Let's go. That's the Aries thing. I think the Aries thing is like, all right, here's the vision, you know, here's the window, you know, and here's the door. Is that a useful idea to yourself that, you know, that open the door?
Two things. There's two beautiful. It reminds me of E. Cummings's poem that starts with, pity this busy monster, man unkind not. Progress is a comfortable disease, playing with the bigness of his littleness. And then he goes, we doctors know a hopeless case when we see one. Listen, there's a hell of a good universe next door. Let's go. So we just bring the alternative. That's what they did in 1776. They stopped trying to oppose Parliament and the king. They just said, we're just making up a new entity here. Okay? And we answer only to ourselves. And so I think that process whereby you know, a mirror becomes a window, becomes a door, you know, reminds me of, if I may, the Pisces Aries cusp, where you're finishing the cycle. What are my ultimate values? You know, what is my spirit, my purest spirit want? What is the part of me that feels one with everyone beyond my own birth and death and gain and loss that Pisces want? And then you turn it into action. If I may quote the Irish poet who became the leader of the Easter Rising that helped liberate Ireland after 750 years, he had a poem called The Fool, which is interesting because that's the planet, you know, ties in with the planet of genius, Uranus. It goes, the lawyers have sat in council, the men with the keen, long faces, and some have said, this man is a fool, and others have said, he blasphemeth. And the wise men have pitied the fool that has striven to give a life in the world of time and space, among the bulk of actual things, to a dream that was dreamed in the heart, and that only the heart could hold. O wise men, riddle me this, what if the dream come true? What if the dream come true, and if millions unborn shall dwell in the world that I shaped in my heart, in the noble house of my thought? And so I speak. Yea, ere my hot youth pass, I speak to my people and say, you shall be foolish as I. You shall scatter, not save. It's from the Bible imagery of you know, scatter the seeds, don't hang on to them. And to invest our lives in the possibility. That's what Aries is about, is just step out there and in the direction of your highest values, Pisces, or your biggest delusions, Pisces, you know, and that's what's going to show up, is that those who have the delusional dreams are also going to be aggressive, okay?
Yeah.
You know, we're going to convert you to other religion or whatever, right? But the holy dreams, meaning those who are founded in divine love and oneness with all life and reverence and compassion, they also are taking root this year.
That's great. Well, E.E. Cummings, just to go back to the beginning of your splendid riff, born on my birthday, October 14th, as is Hannah Arendt, also Hannah Arendt, October 14th. We invite in everyone, everybody listening, invite in, you know, Harriet Tubman, invite in what we need. You know, again, if we don't know what to do, invite in what does. And then I just want to invite in the still living Haruki Murakami. I have his latest novel, Upstairs, Waiting for Winter. It is winter. But the one I've read, IQ 84, I just want to borrow part of it for all of us now. The world in that novel becomes discombobulated, and now there's an out of sort and corrupt, and there's two moons. And the two protagonists ask people, like, when did a second moon arrive? And everyone says, there's always been a second moon. So the two protagonists go backstage, right, into the Neptunian realm, and they rearrange the world back into its harmony. And then at a certain point, they pull the sluice gates, right, so that the ideal world as it's meant to be pours into the actual world. And I can think of that part of our cusp, right, that so here's, you know, discombobulated corruption, pestilence, five venomous creatures in a jar, you know, cruelty, carnage everywhere, humans. And then we go backstage, which is where we are now, team, right? And we redream it as it's meant to be, you know, with all of flora, fauna, fungi, you know, with we bow to no authority. The only authority is nature, right? And we go, right, you know, that... So and then I guess we pull the sluice gates, maybe altogether, you know, whenever you feel like it, you can practice. But we could say, March 31st, maybe. But we might not be able to wait that long. But when Neptune enters Aries, it's from backstage dreaming to here we go, right? So shall we imagine all of us pulling the sluice gates backstage so that the ideal world of, you know, kindness and symbiotic mutualism pours into the actual world? Is that a fun idea?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And because again, what we want to be bringing is that we want to melt the hearts. We don't want to fight the egos. You know, we want to bring the context of unity, the context of communication, and touch that place that isn't inside each person, that isn't stuck in a point of view. You know, that it just is, that is a heart, you know, And I think appropriately for the Neptune return of Fort Sumter in the Civil War, which also is around March 31st, okay? You know, to really feel the return of compassion to its source. And there was a freeing of the slaves that was initiated, you know, with that aggressive action, you know? But this time, let's just bring in that which is irresistible, is the way I would put it, what I call the Venusian arts instead of the martial arts, you know? Where, I, as I often say, I don't want to convince, which comes from the word to conquer, I want to seduce. You know, listen, there's a hell of a good universe next door, let's go. That's a Venus power. And delight is the Venus power. You know, beauty is the Venus power, you know? And learning how to dance with someone else's rhythm is the Venus power. You know, and that's what is really wanted, you know?
And then just to add to that, I like what's available to us now, and I like thinking again of tomorrow, January 3rd, who knows, you know, but we can participate. And I love astrology as a language of what it is to be a fully participatory Earth citizen. We all have these skills. So Jupiter in Gemini squares Saturn in Pisces. So I like to animate that as, all right, everyone has a quiver filled with arrows. And may it be that each arrow is tipped with compassion, with tyranny as its target. Fatum, fatum, fatum. And Jupiter stations and goes direct on exact midwinter, February 4th, which is one of the four gates of power, where power is especially eager to be invited into the world. And that's when Jupiter stations. And I was so heartened before the election about the election, because Jupiter stationing at 11 plus Gemini going forward at midwinter, its image is black women standing up for all of our rights. And I go, yes. Well, I think it's still true, right? I mean, it's like it, I wanted it to be the election, but there's so many great black women, you know, and still, you know, and we go, right, black women standing up for all of our rights. And then tomorrow, I think everybody just play, just participate, you know, quiver filled with arrows, with tyranny as its target, fatum, 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 so that people go, oh, I was going to vote for cruelty and mayhem, but no, never mind. You know, remember in Doris Lessing's novel, Shikasta, and they go, the great problem with this planet that Doris Lessing calls Shikasta is people come with a mission, Pluto, but then expediency and forgetfulness come into play. And each character, when they're at a moment of deciding, like, come on, Joe Biden, you know, liberate Leonard Peltier. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, do the thing. What do you have to lose? Come on, we're talking, you know, and do what you can for Gaza on your way out. Come on. You know, and so the spirits are gathered round, you know, kind of talking to each person in their inner Congress, going, remember what you came to do. Don't go for expediency. Remember what you came to do. So I like us doing that for ourselves too. Yeah. Remember what we all came to do. You know, don't go for expediency, because you'll lose anyway. We see this over and over again. When people choose expediency, they tend to go down eventually.
I think you're reminding us all, as you do so often with your shamanic politics, you know, of our place at the source of creation, and that I always am in charge of how I hold things. Maybe not the events themselves or my feelings, but how I hold the events of, and my feelings. So I can feel January 3rd, which is also the solar return of the attack, 4 years ago, right? That I can hold that, the healing of that. I can hold the divine love is pouring through other people right now, and pouring through people and bringing in courage and compassion and integrity and the willingness to put at stake your lower clinging desires in behalf of your higher heroic nature, is the way to put it. And I think without that, you shouldn't be in government.
That is true. Okay, we're going to take a very short musical break. My splendid colleague from way back from Providence, Rhode Island, 1974, right? Oh, holy moly. Rick Gear has been a professional astrologer for 50 years, specializing in mirroring the unique genius inside each person. That's really great. And we're going to play just a smidge of Soul Rebel by Bunny Wailer and Manu Che and many, many great people chiming in. It's a wonderful video. You'll hear the audio. But Soul Rebel, I think, may this speak to each person. Certainly it speaks to Rick and me and really everybody listening. We're talking to the Soul Rebel. So here we go. A smidge of Bunny Wailer, Soul Rebel. Fading out on Soul Rebel, that's Bunny Wailer and Manu Che and many, many great humans. And it's a good anthem. Welcome back, team. This is the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, and our splendid colleague, ally, this hour is Rick Geer, that I've known since 1974 in Providence, Rhode Island. There we go. So all chapters of our lives reporting in. That's really great. So Rick is an astrologer for 50 years, specializing in mirroring the unique genius inside each person. Yeah, everybody has a unique thing to, we need everybody. It's the confluencing of allies, you know, who brought what, you know, who brought what skills, you know, and we need everybody in that way. But to pick up on our many, many threads of the first half, Rick Geer, when you said, oh, well, Che Guevara shares a birthday with the founding of the State of Israel. And I go, yeah. Okay, we don't have to believe anything, but wouldn't it be great? Let's have Che Guevara emerge in Israel, right? What would be the Israeli yeah. Che Guevara? Wouldn't that be, I think that's a good idea. Because may everything, I mean, this is what we can't even be who we want to be by ourselves. It's by ourselves that got us into this pickle. So it's a great time to dedicate now to for each one of us to who we want to be, spicy but kind, you know, and that model of, you know, may we be, you know, I love Dorothy Parker saying every morning I get up and brush my teeth and sharpen my tongue. May we have a sharp tongue with a kind heart. May we run on the fuel of liberating blessing. And all of last year, working with Pat Ewing and election magic and all kinds of things, we go, grievance, tyranny runs on grievance. And at first I was like, I don't have grievance. And then it was like, ooh yeah. And so defining things is good for all of us. You know, it's a Saturn thing. So I've currently defined, like, what is grievance? And I go, anything that's an impediment to me wishing a liberating blessing to someone, you know. A grievance is an impediment, and so let's dissolve that impediment, and may we run on the fuel of liberating blessing. and it can be spicy, right? May it go well for you. May all humans have an increasing empathic experience of the effect of their actions on others. And we go, yeah, let's go. You know, may those abusing power be moved to a place they can no longer harm themselves by harming others. Yeah, let's go. You know, cultivating our playful about deep things art of blessing is that's a wish, a dedication I'm putting on our collective altar. Is that in accord with your playful self?
Yeah. Exactly. In fact, did you know Elias, the Black Street Prophet?
Yes.
Well, I had a moment, but I was being too cheeky. He was a very, very brave, amazing, part genius, part crazy guy. You know, I have great reverence for the brave, you know, and he basically was a street person. And there was one moment I offended him. And at one point he grabbed me by the collar and said, "You only 3/4 dead. You understand me?" And it was the exact Saturn return that day of, which occurs at age 29, 30. And my Saturn degree is a lion tamer. So there I was, right? And I did a half second prayer, which is all the time I had. I looked straight into his eyes and I basically prayed, "Okay, divine, obviously you want to get through to me, so I'm here." And out of my mouth, he's going, "Do you understand me?" And out of my mouth came, "I feel you." And I didn't resist. I didn't run. I didn't defend. You know, I just looked and he let me go and a tear came out of each eye. And he said, "I can't believe I'm here. One thing I know for certain, this isn't the first time we've been together." And everything calmed down. And that was the lion tamer. That's Neptune power of total surrender, leading to assertive action with Mars, Aries. And so what I'm suggesting, bouncing off of you, is that as we shift into, you know, "I feel you" as opposed to "I disagree with you." You can disagree, but the vibration has to be, "I'm in solidarity with the real you, no matter what you're putting out there right now, okay? And I may have to resist you. I may have to do whatever, you know." But there was a Rocky Flats demonstration on the anniversary of Nagasaki, and Ginsburg was there, and Daniel Ellsberg was there. A friend of mine who drove Alan and me and everyone else there to this protest, you know, he befriended the cop. And the cop, you know, and of course they're going to have to arrest people and, you know, but at the end of it, my friend Glenn says to the cop, the cop goes, "How'd I do?" And Glenn said, "You did great." Okay, they're on opposite sides, but he's saying, "You did great playing cop." Somebody had to play cop, obviously. If we can hold that unity within the duality, then we've got something really powerful. If we can say, "I feel you, I'm aligned with what you really want." And I think to really bring this home, if we understand that Trump has done us a favor by turning the right wing onto the idea that there's a deep state, and by saying the Iraq War was a scam, not a mistake, and by Make America Healthy Again, all of a sudden we have a right-wing audience for what is essentially anti-corporate, traditional left-wing stuff. There's some real cross-fertilization going on if we can let go of clinging to the good guys and the bad guys. Just let the one process, one power. I looked in that Elias's eyes, you know, and he was mad, you know, and he had me by the collar, and I just saw God. And immediately, woof, it shifted, just like that. And so I'm suggesting that, if that's a response to what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's 8,000 things, excuse me, in what you just said. But I'm glad you're bringing Elias back. I hosted him. I can remember having tea with him in my wonderful, funky apartment in Providence, Rhode Island. And just an homage to the street people who are prophets. I want to do a shout out to an ancestor now, wonderful street person in Berkeley, Captain Cod. And Captain Cod came up to me years ago because he listened to this show. And he goes, "You know, all us homeless people listen to your show because we speak in myths and metaphors too." And I go, "That's great." And he was quoting, you know, Blake, and I had a number of losses. And he quoted Blake, you know, "He who dost..." Oh, I'm gonna forget it here.
I know it.
"He who dost something cling to a joy,
dost
winged life."
Joy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Yeah, "He who dost binds himself to a joy," you can correct me in a moment, "dost winged life destroy, but he who kisses the moment as it flies shall live in eternity's sunrise." Thank you, Captain Cod. And I gave him free entrance to a talk I was giving, some important thing in Berkeley, and people said, "There's a drunken homeless man out here who says he wants to get in." I go, that's the prophet, Captain Cod. I don't care how much he's drunk. Let him in. He's an ally." And I still apologize to him. You know, these moments of remorse, you know, remorse, I think, is useful, because the last time, one of the last times I saw him, I go, "You can come for dinner, but only after you've gotten your dog's," Sweet Jesus was his dog, and Venus, "your dog's nails trimmed." You know, and right now I still cringe. This is decades later. It's like, do you know how hard that is? That was, I apologize to him, but he was a great visionary person. And just so we'd go to Elias and to Captain Cod, and remember, part of the radical part of Pisces, where Saturn is and Neptune is still, although they will change, is it's what have we forgotten that we must remember, and what has been exiled to the periphery, undervalued, imprisoned, but is of great value, you know. And so it's the inclusivity of the street people and those who have been imprisoned or exiled or undervalued. That Pisces says that's where the real action is. Forget the celebrity visible hoo-ha. Look at what's missing, and that we still have that to take all of that, the whole thing, into the new story, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then one other thing that you set off. Yeah, I watched all four episodes of Dark State last night. It's a British Acorn thing. And it's like, oh, this is much better than the thing that everybody was watching. It's really good, because it's a petrochemical evil, and you know, and the complexities. But then after four episodes, and I watched them in a row, I'm like, where's season two? Oh, there is no season two. I can't stand it. But it's really good. It's really good. But working with Vermin Supreme, another sort of semi-street person, you know, at the Republican convention, and then brilliantly, and then not so well at the Democratic convention. But Vermin Supreme said, and I saw him in action, he said, you gotta disrupt the polarity as it's forming. With the protesters on the street and the police on bicycles, and Vermin grabs a microphone and says to the police, "Remember to do it how we rehearsed it, lads," right? Which immediately throws confusion, like, wait a minute, what? And then he says to the police, you know, "You third in line, your bicycle skills are not that good, you know. Now they're all in third grade being criticized," right? And that disrupted the polarity. And then it gets to be polarity again, and he has the protesters chant, "Give the cops a raise, give the cops a raise." Again, complete confusion, complete confusion. And we want this, you know, may all of us have these skills to disrupt polarity. And I want to put this on our work table, because here's a conundrum, and it has to do with ally etiquette and everything, and embodying democracy. You know, yes, the thought came and went away, but it'll come back. That it be, again, a liberating blessing. That was sort of what I was going to say. And then to be trickster, because then I had invited him to be my guest on the Visionary Activist Show at the Democratic Convention. And this is just for all of us. He had been an authentic liberating trickster. When he came to the Democratic Convention, he was dressed super provocatively. He had a faux naked butt on his thing, whatever. Anyway, the Democratic grown-ups and the police were like, no. And he was sort of provocative, right? Oh, I know the thing I was going to say. Provocative. And we got booted out, and my credentials got, and we did a live show for Visionary Activist Show on a cell phone in the rain outside the convention that we'd been kicked out of. But it says, if we're going to be tricksters, you have to be tricksters all the way. And that tyranny does terrible things, which then arouse our polarizing rah-rah-rah on which it feeds, right? This is, here we want the spiraling Aikido thing and the surprising blessing and the changing of the polarity, because it does terrible things. Tyranny feeds on strife and polarity, and how to spiral out of that, like all of the great liberating folk heroes, like High John the Conqueror from the South, you know, that liberates everything. Scheherazade, Power of the Woman Storyteller, liberates women, liberates men, liberates the land, willing to liberate even the tyrant, not counting on it, but willing to liberate the entire Neptunian atmosphere, right, to create the atmosphere conducive to the desirable. So we want to call in all the goodness in our heritage of the liberating folk heroes, that quality, which is derived really from the earth. It's coyote, it's raven, it's seeds that sprout after cataclysm. It's the part of us and the world that likes against all odds. Against all odds, perfect, right? So we want to encourage this plucky quality, and then to see the unrealistic desirable. You know, it's like situation so grave, can't afford the luxury of realism. And that's in the, well, it's in, I said that once to somebody on the plane who worked for Homeland Security, and she said, you have no idea how true that is. But it's like, you know, when we think, and some of us and many of us, you know, follow the reliable narrators out of Gaza, and it's like, oh my God, you know, and I think that that's incumbent upon us being responsible citizens. We gotta know, you know, the every minute some horror is taking place that would be worthy of public grief for, you know, and newspaper headlines, you know, any 1 minute out of Gaza, you know, for a year, and it's like overwhelming. So we've got to keep that there, and then going, you know, what High John says, got to find a way out of no way and hit a straight lick with a crooked stick is the High John the Conqueror thing. So we got to find a way out of no way. And just to imagine, like, the mind blanks out, but it's like, what would be the resolution? To see the Palestinian state, to see Che Guevara being born in the hearts of the citizenry of Israel, to see this is silly, let's all work the land together, to see impossible things, you know, that grief knows no boundaries, and, you know, and the community of the grieving, like, and it's not a comparison or a competition. Yes, we grieve for those killed on October 8th, and I have friends who lost family then, yes. And then every day we grieve also for the multi-generation of families, for the man waiting for his first child to be born outside the hospital, who's press, right? And as many people have noted, you know, the dementor Israeli government that I think will not survive this government, you know, and Bibi should go to prison. Where are the big changes that we would like to see that are unrealistic but desirable in some way, of people just, you know, a great awakening, a great democratic awakening of humans with the earth, whatever it is we want, whatever template we want to create. And you know, you're here. And then I'm just going back to January 3rd because we don't know. It depends on us. We have our quiver filled with arrows, right? And then in midwinter, they go forward. And tyranny is its target, tipped with compassion. We go everywhere. But it's a way to participate. And then you know, there's no certainty. But just as a beautiful visual, I mean, each night is beautiful. Tonight, after sunset, we will see the moon and Venus very high and bright in the west. Venus at the very last degree of Aquarius, whose image is strange white flowers are blooming in the midnight ruins of Babylon. We go, ooh, I don't know what that means, but it's great. Haunting. So tonight, after sunset... Well, we can see the moon and Venus and Saturn and Jupiter, and then Mars rises around 9. Tomorrow night, after the Congress has either elected a speaker or not, it's even more beautiful. It's after sunset on Friday night, it's a Venus-Moon conjunction right next to each other, right after sunset, like, whoa, and then Saturn, and then visible to the naked eye, Jupiter, and then Mars. And there's this quincunx, right, between Pisces, the conversation between Venus and Moon and Pisces and Mars retrograde going on a vision quest, going, forget this war thing, in Leo, going, it's not performance, it's sacred, prayerful magic. And that's what, yeah, so it's a glorious night. My dogs often say, you know, It's midnight. Let's go for a walk. I'm like, it's very cold. And they're like, put down that phone and let's step out. And I go, oh, you're right. You're right. There's the Venus and the Moon and Saturn and Jupiter and Mars. Yeah. And they're all talking. And what do you want to do with Mars opposite Pluto?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I think that affirmation of only one power, that affirmation that the transformation that needs to happen is happening. Yeah, you know, because there's so many ways that Mars-Pluto can happen. I have a very strong Mars-Pluto, you know, aspect myself. And I think there's a higher level of Pluto to me, which is the Tao, which grinds up and composts. You know, you and I both call him the composter, right? That is Kiva, you know? And that ability to dissolve the old forms that don't work. And I think what often hurts the so-called left is the kind of a righteous grievance, man, that's so wicked what they're doing, you know? And I think that ability to say, and I think in order to hold the position of unity, which is key, I just checked, by the way, Neptune does also go back into Pisces, not just Saturn, go back into Pisces later in the year. And so this dance back and forth between the signs, and Pisces to me is about utter surrender, all right? To just completely, you know, like the guy making a chapati and he says, oh, God, Lord, let me see you in all things, including speakers of the house. Let me see you in all things. And he puts up the chapati to cool and a dog runs by and grabs it and runs off with it. And he chases after the dog saying, Lord, Lord, let me salt it for you. And so that ability, you know, when Trump gets elected or when anything happens that, where it makes us feel fear, outrage, whatever, you know, allow those emotions to process, but keep coming from everything is for me. Everything is a mask of the one power. To me, that's the real Pisces. You know, it's not divisive religion or delusion or ideology. It's just plain old oneness, you know, including right. Oneness with the folks, you know, and keep holding. To me, that is the ultimate magic, is to keep holding that everything is for me. And I don't know. It's like the Zen master you used to hang with. You know, you must keep a don't know mind. You don't know.
Sansanim. Oh, you're ringing up Elias and Sansanim. Yeah, Sansanim yep. Was a pretty, you know, people were grumpy because we had to burn our arms and take the five precepts, but he was really pretty jolly. And Leo, right, keep don't know mind. Only don't know. You know, and who makes smallness? It's in your mind. And in the early days, he became a big deal Zen master, but always a humble kind of playful guy, but it was very small at the beginning. And I remember he went into the bathroom and there was just loud farting yep. And, you know, and he said, now do you understand? Anyway, he was playful. So yeah, keep don't know mind. Yes, that is part of the dynamic. So we have January 3rd, we have January 6th. I just want to say that January 6th, we're taking it back this year because January 6th is 12th night. I'm all for the 12 nights, 12 days of Christmas. It begins 25th, and then you count 12 days after that. So here we are, I think, on the 8th day of Christmas. I can't remember. 8 calling birds? I can't remember what it is. But remember, Epiphany, 12th night, is when the Magi, when the astrologers arrived. That's what January 6th yeah. is. And it's like, you can't have that date. You know, tyranny, you cannot have that date. We're going to reanimate it. We're inhaling it back. So we got January 3rd, who knows, but it's a beautiful night. January 6th, yes, we're taking it back. January 20th, will there be an inauguration? Maybe not. You know, who's a good chaos? And then, you know, we're in our last, well, we've got 5 minutes, and that's a huge amount of time. So wherever we want to go with this dynamic on our work table, yes.
The third Uranus return since July 4th, 1776, you know, and in many ways, July 2nd was the birth of the U.S. and July 4th is the public, you know, Declaration of Independence. But the first Uranus return was, in fact, the Civil War. The 4 score and 7 years ago was 4 score and 4 years ago, you know, was the beginning of the Civil War. And then the second Uranus return was D-Day, the taking back of Europe from dictatorship. And the third Uranus return is coming right up in a couple of years, you know. And that is going to be, again, a rebirth. This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, you know. And so, but I want to mention, you know, it's very key. If our superpower, to me, is what I call the three superpowers, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. You know, Uranus is that ability to have perfect guidance, and I get a zillion stories. It's utterly miraculous, perfect guidance. That's Uranus. Perfect intelligence, where everything works for you, where you save, you perfect your relationship with the world before you try to change the world. Uranus is higher mind, and Neptune is the ecstasy and the absolute melting into the perfection of your own consciousness before you think or act. And then Pluto is that ability to line up with one power so that you are for everything, in a sense. You're flowing with everything. And when you see evil, you hold the point of view that it's turning into what it needs to turn into. And you only act from that place of guidance, and then you are automatically giving your best to the world. And the superpowers align us with that which cannot be defeated because it is running everything. And very few people have stepped out of the duality, the original sin of eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, into seeing one power everywhere, you know? And when we see one power everywhere, we look like a fool to the world, which is great. But what's that line from the Qing? One who acts from these deep levels makes no mistakes. And so we hit the bullseye over and over again. And to me, that's our contribution, is to align with the one thing that nobody sees because they're caught in the two things, you know? Winning and losing and gaining and, you know, et cetera, that to be so serene that we're playing, in, it's like Blake, eternity is in love with the productions of time. I'm sitting in eternity, choosing to play in the world just the way it is. And I learned from the early 20s, you know, with Prem Rawat, you know, Maharaji, that service is for the server, that I am meant to be, my soul is meant to be nourished on that level of service, but true service. It is both totally selfish because it brings enormous joy beyond pleasure pain, but it's also totally unselfish. At the heroic level, selfish and unselfish disappear.
Right, we're on our way out. We're on our way out. Let's think of this as part one. Rick Geer. Rick Geer is a great ally, astrologer for 50 years. That's wonderful. And as Deborah Felmuth says, salam shalom is not the absence of conflict. It's the presence of oneness, presence of oneness.
Yeah.
And everyone also just here, homework, the sun's image right now for everybody is sitting in front of a blazing fire, the unconditional dedication of the self with all of its skills. And we go, yes, and lighting the hearth fire for collective well-being. That's something we can all do tonight. Thank you. Thank you, Rick Geer. Thank you, Rick Geer. And thank you, wonderful Peter Stickney. Board up. Yay. All right. I'm Caroline Casey. We'll reconvene next week. Thank you, team.
All right, love. Good night.
Yep.
Boy, I did.